political authority, I'm not referring to Dina de Malfitadina, which is political authority in some foreign country, but there's the institution of Malfus. The relationship between Melech or Nasi on the one hand, and between Sanhedrin on the other hand. Now, the truth is that they're talking about two different areas altogether, and the question of the increasing on one area upon the other area is an interesting question in and of itself. The Melech is in charge more of the executive in terms of taking care of things. He can be, he can collect taxes, he can go to war. He has to make sure that society as society that existing then is running the proper way. He has to deal with the welfare of society. There's a famous drasha of the Ran, who deals with the relationship between Melech on the one hand and between Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin basically is a body which has to deal with Torah Sheval Peh, the objective law as the Torah has passed down. But how to deal with each particular society as society changes, and to be current to the needs of that particular society, you need something, you know, some authority which allows one to be more flexible and not be rigid as far as halacha is concerned, in order to relate to the changing flow of human needs and human dynamics. That's basically how the Ran understands the relationship between Melech on the one hand and the Sanhedrin on the other hand. And when we don't have a Melech, so Sanhedrin might play the role of the flexible role as well, and that might be the din of Beis Din Makin Ba'onshin Shalom and Hazin. That Beis Din had the authority at times, because of the needs of a specific period in time, to give punishment, and according to some people even capital punishment, even though it's not warranted as far as halacha is concerned. So here we're talking about two totally different areas of jurisdiction, the jurisdiction of Sanhedrin, which is, you know, the jurisdiction of Torah, Torah and Halacha in its more objective sense, in the sense of passing on of the Mesorah, and the jurisdiction of society in its more, I would say, dynamic and life-filled sense, you know, the basic living and breathing particularities of each particular generation. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, so you don't have on your sheet, when he talks about Melech, so he says, V'chol, Perek Dalet, the end of Perek Dalet, V'chol yom masal l'shem shamayim, v'tiyah machshavto v'mugamato, arim dat emet, what's his purpose, what's the reason that he exists? First of all, l'harim dat emet, in order to elevate the status of the truth faith, u'malot ha'olam tzedek, to fill the world with justice. The term world is interesting. You think to fill Yisrael with justice would be enough, to fill the world with justice. L'shmor zror harishayim, to destroy the arm of evil. V'yilachim milchamot Hashem, and to fight the battles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'im ha'mlichim melech k'chla elo lasot nishpat u'milchama sh'nema v'shapteinu malkeinu v'yatzei l'paneinu v'nilchamet v'lchamet. So here basically in a nutshell describes the role of the Melech, but when he mentioned the role of the Melech, he added something very interesting. He started talking about Lasot Mishpat. V'shapteinu Malkeinu. And all of a sudden you see a bit of an encroachment on what we would think would be the area of the jurisdiction of the Sanhedrin. As far as Mishpat is concerned, if you're talking about, as I said, the local needs of any particular community, that would be Melech, according to the Rambam. But when the Rambam talks about the Shapin Malkeinu, all of a sudden he seems to have the Melech encroach on the jurisdiction of the Sanhedrin. Mishpat should be the Sanhedrin, not the Melech. And what I would like to do is to discuss a little bit the nature of the authority of Mishpat, the Yisrael, and to see where exactly the Melech, why the Melech would play a role regarding the area of Mishpat. What I'd like to do is to start with maybe a surprising Gemara. This whole share is going to focus on this particular Gemara, and we have to spin off to other areas in order to explain this Gemara. But let's take a look at this source number one. Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Hei. Amar Rav Hai, man debay le meidin dina, vita debay le mizra lishko v'shuton v'dei reish kuluta. Somebody who wants to, you know, he wants to be a dayan, he wants to give a din Torah. And in case he makes mistakes, he wants to be protected, So in order that he should be able to be protected in case he makes a mistake, he has to get reshus from the Bei Reish Kalusa. If the Reish Kalusa says you have the authority to pass but judgment, then even if he makes a mistake, he doesn't have to pay. V'chein amar Shmuel lishko v'shuto Bei Reish Kalusa. And Shmuel said the same thing. Shita mehacha lehacha u'mehasam lehasam. It's clear that if you get permission from the Reish Kalusa, who was situated where? In Babel. To pass judgment in Babel, you're pater. If you get permission from the Shofet in Eretz Yisrael to pass judgment in Eretz Yisrael, you're pater. Umehacha lahatam mahani. To get permission from the Reish Kalusa to pass judgment in Eretz Yisrael, you'll be pater as well. The hacha shevet, the hacha mechokes. Because regarding the Reish Kalusa, it says shevet. Regarding the Shofet in Eretz Yisrael, it says mechokek. The Tanya, and it calls it Braitza. Lo yasur shevet mihuda. Shevet is referring to the staff, which is symbolic of authority, of regal authority, of leadership. Lo yasur shevet mihuda. What is the shevet referring to? Elu rashay goliot shemavavel. Sherodim be Yisrael b'shevet. This is referring to the Reish Kalusa, who had political authority, who was able to control politically the people. Umechokeki ben aglav, what's the mechokek? Mechokek is the Druidic. Umechokek ben aglav, elu b'nei banav shel Hillel, shemalamdim Torah v'rabim. It's not political authority, but rather it's religious authority. It's the Mesorah community. So, Shevet overcomes mechokek. It's fascinating. It's clear that the Shevet will be able to impose his will on Eretz Yisrael. But what about the Shofet, Bnei Banav Shel Hillel, Shem Lamin Torah? Can they impose their authority on Babel? Yehatam Lahacha, Mai. Tashma, the Rav Barchana, Dan Dina, Rav Barchana had a din, he made a mistake, the Ta, Atal Atami, the Rabbi Chia, he went to Rabbi Chia, Amar Lei, and Rabbi Chia told him, I kibluch alayu lo tishalim v'lo zirshlim. Said, if you already made an agreement that you don't have to pay, then it's fine. But if not, you have to pay. V'harav v'chana reshut avanakit. Rav v'chana got reshut from b'nei banav shal Hillel, and nevertheless he would have had to pay. Shmamina mehatam lachal lo ma'ani shmamina. In other words, if you get reshut from the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael, from the Cholkek, then that's okay. They have jurisdiction over Eretz Yisrael, but they have no power whatsoever in Babel. On the other hand, the Reish Kalusa, his authority is universal. He can appoint a judge for Babel, for Israel, the entire world. So the authority regarding the appointment of judges of the Reish Kalusa, which is basically the Nazis, the Shevet, it's Nazi, the authority of the Reish Kalusa is greater than the authority of the Chachmei Mesorah, of the Beit Din. That's basically what's being described in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And as I said, this would seem at first glance to be a bit surprising, because we assume that the area of, as far as the area of judgment is concerned, we would expect the Sanhedrin, the Beit Din, the Mesorah community to be all-powerful, while the area of the Nasi, the Reish Kalusa, of the Shevet, should be in other areas which are more executive. Okay, we're going to put the Gemara in the Sanhedrin aside for a second. We'll get back to it in Yom Tov later. But what I want to do is take a look at some other sources, which I think will give us greater insight into the entire idea of Mishpat and the authority to be shofet in general. What I want to do is I want to begin with a contradiction, a stira between a Gemara in Sanhedrin and a Gemara in Gittin, a stira which already Tosfos pointed out. We know that when you have a judge, there's a difference between a dayan that's a hedyot and a dayan that's a samach, smicha. Smicha that we have nowadays is not real smicha. It's a paper. But real smicha goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. It goes back to Perkei Avos. Moshe Kibel Torah B'Sinai, Masara Yeshua, Yeshua Luskenim. There was smicha from generation to generation, from the Gedolim of one generation to the Gedolim of the other generation. And smicha basically meant that somebody who got his authority from Moshe, who got his authority from Sinai, gives that authority over to somebody else. Smicha can only be granted in Eretz Yisrael, it cannot be granted in Chutz La'aretz. So when all of a sudden there was a ghost, the Chutz La'aretz, smicha stopped. Rav is called Rav because he had smicha. So he's called Rav. He got smicha from who? From Rebbe. One of the greatest Tanaim, last generation of Tanaim. He got smicha from Rebbe. And then he went to Babel. So he was called Rav. Shmuel, who grew up in Babel, Avod Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, was one of the first Tanaim in Babel. He didn't have smicha, so he was called Shmuel. So Rav, whose name was not Rav, but he was called Rav because he had smicha, in contrast to Shmuel, who did not have smicha. And then all of a sudden, smicha fell out. He's not a zed. There is no smicha. There are many, many halachic ramifications to the fact that there is no smicha. There's a whole discussion, a number of different times in Napoleon and other times, of being mechayis the smicha based on a certain Rambam. But that's another story. The point is, what's the source that you need a samuch? And regarding what areas do you need a dayan who's a samuch? So the Gemara Gittin, Abai Asachem Rav Yosef, Abai Met Rav Yosef, Biyasa Dekama Asi Agita. He was forcing somebody to give a get. There was a husband who didn't want to give a get, a problem of Aguna, and Rav Yosef was forcing somebody to give a get. Amalei, Va'anen Het Yosotana. We're not smuchim. How can we force? How do we have the power and the authority to force somebody to give a get? V'tanya ve'eile ha'mishpatim asher tasim lefneihem, lefneihem v'lo lefneihem yotot. How can we force a get? We don't have smicha. And if we don't have smicha, we can't force a get. And how do you know that you need smicha? Eila ha'mishpatim asher tasim lefneihem, lefneihu, lefneih desmuchim, and not lefneihem yotot. His answer was, anan shlichutayu ka'adina. Where I'm able to use the process of shlichus, the original generations made future generations into shluchim. That's the whole discussion, what exactly Shufusai Kavina means. But the source for smicha, according to the Gemara and Gittin, is the Sneim below the Sneh Hedyotot. On the other hand, the Gemara in Sanhedrin quotes a pasuk. We know that in many of them, Ad Elohim Yavod Varshnehem. The basin is referred to as Elohim. And from there we learn that the Gemara in Gittin learns that you need smuchim. In all those areas where it says Elohim, and that's referring, it's Chol, it's referring to Beis Din, in those areas you need a Samach. So Tosos in Sanhedrin asks, Lebay Nami Mumchim Tema. If it says Elohim, you should require Mumchim. Mumchim is Smuchim. Tema, the Masma Hacha, Matinan Had Yotot Midachtiv Elohim. Here the drasha is from the term Elohim. However, in contrast to the term that the drasha in Sanhedrin, the drasha in Gittin is lifnehem. Lifnehem lo lifnei akum lo lifnei hediotot. V'nir lafareish, and the solution that Tosos comes up with is the Gittin le'inyan mili dikdia. In Gittin, when it's talking about the ability to enforce your authority and to oppose and to force somebody to obey the will of Beis Din. I read the Ahacha Mighty Law, regarding that, the parenthetical comment, it was brought within the context of Ksia, of forcing, of imposing the will of Beis Din upon somebody against his will. Regarding that, the Ahacha Mighty Law, the Bayas Kachav Yosef Tavak, Yatib Kamas Agitin, Amalei Vanan Het Yotas Anan, regarding that, the source is Bifneim. Ava Elohim, the term Elohim, which also tells us that you need smuchim, lav amir di isui mairi, is not referring to kfiyah, to forcing, to imposing, ela bedin ba'alma, but rather what kind of a basin has the authority to give certain dinim, and we'll see what dinim are limited to basin later on. So basically what Tosos says is, regarding the context of the Gemara Gittin, it's imposing, enforcing somebody to do something against their will. That's burnt out from the Lefneihem. However, regarding other authority of Beis Din, that's burnt out from Elohim. Right. Tosos says, Satan v'lo piresh. He just threw this out and he found a chiluk. The Gemara didn't tell about Kfiyah. Here it's not about Kfiyah. Okay, we have a great chiluk. But what's behind this distinction? It answers the question, but doesn't make sense. What appears from Tosos is really that there are two different sources for the idea of smuchim. And what I would like to do is try to analyze what the two roots of the idea of smicha is. Okay, there's one of the, I think one of the most, Rav Soloveitchik Zechatalik Rachel. So many brilliant pieces of Torah, but one of the things that particularly spoke to me is something that's written up in Kovetz Kedushin Torah regarding Kiddush HaChodesh. It's a famous piece regarding Kiddush HaChodesh. And it tries to answer a very, very difficult Rambam that's found in Sefer HaMitzvos. Sefer HaMitzvos, Kuflam Gimel, and I'm going to give it to you, in a very, very abbreviated fashion. I'm not going to be able to do justice to the brilliance of the piece. But the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos basically claims that Kiddush HaChodesh was done al pi re'iyah had to be done by Beis Din HaGadol. Or it had to at least have the authority of Beis Din HaGadol. Ava mitzvah zu, the mitzvah of the Mekarish HaChodesh, Mitzvah Sase Kuflam Gimel, source number 4, lo ya'aseh otah le'olam, it can never be done, ella Beis Din HaGadol levad uve'eretz Yisrael. It has to have the authority of Beis Din HaGadol. The people that do it just have to be the Sanhedrin, the 71, three people that have the authority of Beis Din HaGadol. Beis Din HaGadol decides they can actually do the Kiddush HaChodesh Mekodesh Mekudas. But it has to have the authority of Beis Din HaGadol, said the Yerushalayim. As long as they're in Eretz Yisrael, not Shev Yishalayim, but in Eretz Yisrael. Rachein, and therefore, Bizban Azeh, we cannot be Makar Sofi Re'ir. But Lahariya Etzleinu. Beheder Beit HaGadol. We no longer have Beit HaGadol, and therefore there's no longer any Kiddush HaChodesh of Pi Re'ir. Vita, and you should know. Shecheshbol Zeh Sheminda Otro Ayom, when we are Makash al Pi Chesbon, the Neda of Rosh Chodashim, and through that we know what day is Rosh Chodesh, Ramo Adin, Yisrael Sotor Elevate Shalavad, that can only be done in Eretz Yisrael. The Chesbon can only be done in Eretz Yisrael, and Ramo will explain what does he mean. Uvechad Shorsh Gordo, Vishar She Amuna, and here we have what this is going to be based on a great Shorsh, Vishar She Amuna, when we're now in Chutz La'aretz and we are relatively Kares L'Chodesh Al Pi Cheshbon, lo mitzvei Cheshboneinu nikvar yom tov v'shum panim, is not based on our Cheshbon, but we have some kind of a calendar and we know what day is supposed to be Rosh Chodesh. And this is based on Gadol Sobeis Yisrael Kvar Shavuot. First of all, in Eretz Yisrael they already made the calendar. Beis Nagel made the calendar for the future. And at this point you might think that it was based on those that was Makash al Pi Chesbon even for future generations, prospectively. But then the Rambam makes it very clear that that's not what he's talking about. Ki b'mlacha zot ba'atzma monim v'kovim lo b'riya v'al tfiyatom v'smoch lo al chesboneinu. We base ourselves on their tfiyah, not on our counting in Chutz La'aretz. Avo chesboneinu hu v'gliyu li'ei milta ba'alma, the calendar that was prepared by the Beis Din thousands of years ago is only telling us which day will eventually be Rosh Chodesh. But how is it established? V'hadin zeh, v'anim usif l'cha b'yor, if you didn't understand until now, and I didn't understand until now. Ilu hi nachu derech mashal, shebnei Eretz Yisrael, ye adru me Eretz Yisrael chalila, if one can consider the possibility that there will be a situation where there will be no Jews in Eretz Yisrael, Israel will be Judenrein. Chalila l'kel me'asol zot. כי הוא הבטיח שלא יימחה אותות האומה מכל וכל, הנה חשבוננו זה לא יהיה כלום בשמפנים. In other words, what he's saying is the way that Rosh Chodesh is established is by the people in Eretz Yisrael who are Mekayim Rosh Chodesh. It's by them what they do. And because we have the calendar, we know what day in Eretz Yisrael they're going to have Rosh Chodesh. And therefore we, it's just a Gilui Milsa, it just reveals to us which day they're going to make Rosh Chodesh. Now, what's the Rambam talking about? If you talk, why, I understand you need Beit Din Shebei Yisrael. Why do you need people in Eretz Yisrael? He said, this is a Shor Shemunah. Since we know that Chodesh HaZerachem Roshei Chodeshim, and throughout Jewish history, there will always be Kviyas HaChodesh, and there will always be Yom Tovim, therefore we have a Shor Shemunah that we know that there will never ever be a period in history when there won't be any Jews in Eretz Yisrael. But if there will be a period in history when there will be no Jews in Israel, there will be no Chodesh, there will be no Yom Tov, there will be nothing. So that's what he's referring to when he says, Shorash Gadol Mishor She'amunah. We know that there will always be Mo'adim, there will always be Rosh Chodashim, and therefore we know that there will always be Jews in Israel. That's what the Rambam says. Now, the Ramban rejects the Rambam, first of all, because we know that there was Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah until the time of the Amoraim. And at what time did the Sanhedrin disband? The Gemara says 40 years before Churban Bayis Sheni, the Sanhedrin left the Lishkas HaGazis, and once they left Lishkas HaGazis, they no longer functioned as Sanhedrin HaGdola. Because it says, Valisa el makom asher yevayim ha'im, melavet ha'makom goreim. If Sanhedrin is not found in the Beis HaMikdash, then it no longer has the din of Sanhedrin. And in order, and the reason they left the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says, is because Shechichi Rotzkin. There were a lot of murderers in Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't want the situation. They realized that if there would be no point in punishing the murderers, it was having no effect, it wasn't deterring people from murdering. Society was collapsing. It was disintegrating. And they didn't want to have to be forced to give capital punishment because it was pointless. So they left. It was like an act of yush. And there were a lot of different gemaras that talk about 40 years before the Churban, they already saw what was happening. And there were a lot of acts of yush at that point. But they left the Lishkas HaGazis in order no longer to have to give over the capital punishment. Although you might ask, how many judges do you need to give capital punishment? 23. If the head of the branch of Sanhedrin was not Lishkas HaGazis, the basis of 23 couldn't give capital punishment. In other words, they got their authority of capital punishment from who? From the fact that there was a basin in the Lishkas HaGazis. And if they weren't there, there was no possibility of giving capital punishment. We'll go back to what's behind that idea later. But the Ramban says, how could they be Makaris of Pirihiyah according to the Ramban, that he based in HaGadol, at the time of the Amoraim, they should have had to stop 40 years before Korban Abayas. So we know that's not true. But 40 years before the Churban, there was no longer any Sanhedrin. And from that point, batlu kol adinim batlim beit hagadol. The im kain lo hayu yichol mekadesh al pi re'iyah bizman harim shana kodem haKorban. According to you, Rambam, they would never be able anymore to mekadesh al pi re'iyah. V'yaduahu, v'kam lo kolat b'gemara, we have explicit sources in the Gemara, shayu osim kach ad zman karov l'chatimat ha'tamud. We have explicit sources that they were mekadesh al pi re'iyah even at the time of the Amoraim. Bein b're'iyah bein b'cheshbon b'zman ha'ra, ubein b're'iyah bein b'cheshbon b'zman ha'ra ha'zeh, she'ein be'etzel sanhedrin v'lo beit tzvukim klal, lo yo'il cheshbon enu shum to'elet. You who say that it's based on the fact that there is some remnant of the people in Eretz Yisrael, what do I care if there are some people in Eretz Yisrael? I need Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael. How could it work out b'cheshbon? If you don't say that the calendar worked prospectively, that the Beis Din then were kovei l'chadashim prospectively, but they have to actually be in existence in Eretz Yisrael now, what do I care if there are people in Eretz Yisrael? There's no Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban says, I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea, I can't understand what you're talking about. Now, Salvation explained that the Rambam over here is not referring to Sanhedrin, but is referring to Beis Din HaGadol. Sanhedrin, regarding Sanhedrin, is true. Hamakom Goren. Once you leave Lishkas HaGazis, you no longer function as Sanhedrin. Once you leave Lishkas HaGazis, you no longer can give over Dinei Nefashos. No Beis Din. Beis Din, the entire institution of Batei Din lose their authority for capital punishment. However, over here we're not talking about Sanhedrin. We're talking about Beis Din HaGadol. And the Sanhedrin, when it was Gola from Lishkas HaGazis, sat in Yerushalayim. Later on, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai established the Beis Din in Yavne. Then they went over to Usha. But Beis Din HaGadol continued to exist in Eretz Yisrael even post-Churban. They no longer had the authority of Sanhedrin, but they were a Beis Din HaGadol. The question is, what does that mean? What are the demons that Beis Din HaGadol was responsible for, and how is that distinct from the idea of Sanhedrin? And Mori Varebi explained that when you talk about the reason the Rambam required Beis Din HaGadol to Mekadesh HaChodesh, it's because it says in the pasuk, "Achodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodeshim," where does Lachem refer to? Does Lachem refer to Moshe Ubeis Dino, or does Lachem refer to Am Yisrael? Mechilta, source number 6. Rav Yosha Omer, Minayin She'ein Ma'abrin Et Hashana El Beit Din HaGadol Shemushlayim, Tamiloma Rishon Hu Lachem. And Lachem is referring to Am Yisrael. And the idea is that Beit Din can act as representatives of Am Yisrael. As far as being representative of Am Yisrael, there's some type of a kli that can basically express the will and the needs of the people that is based on Agada. However, when you're talking about Hamakom Gorb, you're talking about some independent authority that Beis Din has. That authority derives from the mikdash. That's religious authority. On the other hand, Beis Din also has, I would say, a political or social authority that comes from the people. They represent the people and the people's will. Let's take a look at a few sources that might support this. Source number 7, the Rambam discusses all the things that require Sanhedrin. It's basically parallel to the Mishnah and that phase in Sanhedrin. First of all, regarding appointing a king, they used to have a Sanhedrin for each particular Shevet. So they had a Shevet Uven had a Sanhedrin, and then Shimon and Yehuda. Every Shevet had a Sanhedrin. That had to be established by the Sanhedrin Agadola. If you'll take a look at this entire list, what you won't find is Ein Mekashin Et HaChodesh El Beit Din HaGadol. What's not referred to in here is the fact that you came to HaChodesh, you need Beit Din, you need Sanhedrin. The Rambam doesn't mention it. The Rambam himself says that you need Beit Din HaGadol. Here it doesn't mention, doesn't say a word. The reason is that the Rambam here in Hilchos Sanhedrin is referring to the authority of Beis Din as Beis Din HaGadol in the Lishkas HaGadol that derives its authority from the Mishkan. On the other hand, regarding the political authority of Beis Din, that is representative of the people, that's not being discussed in this Rambam. And there are other indications to support that claim as well. The place where this comes out very, very acutely is regarding Milchemes Mitzvah, or rather Kibush Rabin. When you want to Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael, it had to be done initially through a melech going to war, but the melech has to go to war basically as representing the will of the people. If he does it because he has his own individual agenda, that's called kibush yachid. Source number 8. Eretz Yisrael hamura b'chol makom, hi b'artot shekivshan melech Yisrael, O Navi, Yidat Rob Yisrael. What are the requirements of Kibush Rabin? First of all, Melech Yisrael, or Navi. Secondly, Yidat Rob Yisrael. You also need that the will of the entire people. What do? A referendum? How do they find out what was the will of the entire people? A vote, perhaps. V'zeo anita Kibush Rabin. Avo Yachid Mi Yisrael. It doesn't have Kedusha Eretz Yisrael regarding Tshuvos, regarding Maasos, regarding all kinds of other dinim, regarding Shemitah. Umezer Chalak Yoshua Ubeit Dino, Kol Eretz Yisrael Shvatim. Yoshua and Beit Dino were the ones who gave the authority to each particular Shevet to conquer, so that should be Kibush Rabin. So it was Yeshua who Beit Dino that went ahead and told each Shevet what he has to conquer. Ram continues, Haratzot Shekavash David, Chutz Eretz Kanaan, Kigon Aram Narayim Ba'aram Tzova Ba'achlav, in the north, Uchiyotzeh Behem Surya, it's called Surya, Alpha P Shemelech Yisrael who Val P Bezin Agadol who will say ain't okay Yisrael hold about. Syria is considered Kibush Yachid because the requirements of Kibush Yachid are A, it has to be Melech Navi all Yisrael. Secondly, you don't have the authority to conquer outside of Yisrael until you fully conquered Eretz Yisrael. David conquered Syria, which was out of the Gvulot, before he conquered all of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, even though the other requirements existed, he was a Melech, he did it Al-Pi what? What does Rabbi say? Beit HaGadol. Why does he say Eretz Yisrael? He said in order to be Kibush Rabbim, you need Melech Navi and Nasr of Yisrael. David, who inverted the order, is considered Kibush Yachid, even though he was a Melech and he did Al Pi, the power should have been right over Yisrael. What does Rabbi write? Beit HaGadol. What you see from here clearly is that Beit HaGadol and Rav Yisrael are identical. And the same thing that you see from source number 9, Kol ha'atzot shekobshim Yisrael b'melech al pi beisdin harei ze kibush rabim. Right? When Hilchos Truma said melech navi Rav Yisrael, melech beisdin. Now, the question of Melchama also doesn't appear in Sanhedrin that days or in Rami Hilchos Sanhedrin. Because the Sanhedrin over here or Beit HaGadol is functioning as what? As representative of the will of the people. When Beit HaGadol decides whether you should go to Melchama or not go to Melchama, is it for the good of the people? A Melech might have a different agenda. His own personal glory, it might be because of all kinds of geopolitical decisions that concern him, but is it good for the people? Who's supposed to decide is it good for the people or not? That's the role of Beit HaGadol. So Beit HaGadol is really the arm or representative of the people. But regarding this role, you don't need Beit HaGadol and Lishkas HaGadol, because we're not talking about authority that comes from the Mikdash or from HaKadosh Baruch Hu or from the Mesorah, but you're talking about authority that comes from Beit HaGadol as representing the people. So what you see from here is that there's a role that Beit HaGadol plays, and or authority that Beit HaGadol has, which comes from the people, which comes from Am Yisrael. So when the Rambam says that we're looking for some kind of an arm that can do an act, which is the act of Am Yisrael, he says, let's go to the Beit HaGadol. Who's Makadosh the Chodesh? Individuals, Bezdin, Sanhedrin, no. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. The people that are Makadosh the Chodesh are Am Yisrael. That's who's Makadosh the Chodesh. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. That's what the Mechilta says. And if it's Lachem, then how could we do it? Do we get all of Am Yisrael together and say Mekudesh Mekudesh? It's very, very difficult to do that. So what you do is that you have based in HaGadol, not in Lishkas HaGadol, it's based in HaGadol in Usha. Based in HaGadol that act as representing the will of the people. Yes?
Am I correct in understanding that this is not two completely separate things? That the Bezdin and the Lishka can function as a Beis Din HaGadol?
Of course, of course.
But then what?
But based in outside the Lishka cannot function as Sanhedrin.
We seem to be dodging where does that authority come from with Beis Din HaGadol.
Well,
it sounds like social function.
We're not dodging it at all. I'm going to get to that.
I'm sorry.
That's where I'm going. We're not dodging, we're heading. Yes?
You haven't related, or maybe you're going to get to it, the Beis Din HaGadol to Eretz Yisrael.
I'm going to get to that in one second. But basically what the Rambam claims, or at least quote from Soloveitchik, I think is 100% right in the Rambam, because there's no other way of reading the Rambam, is what happens if you don't have Beis Din anymore. You don't have a Beis Din HaGadol. Am Yisrael is dispersed and there is no Beis Din HaGadol. Get up to heaven, there's no Beis Din HaGadol anymore. Right? Before the Aguda started. So you don't have any Beis Din HaGadol. So what are you going to do? How are you going to You have to do Al-Pi Cheshbon. How does Cheshbon help? If it doesn't help proactively, how does it help? So the Rambam said the way it helps, Am Yisrael Makadosh HaChodesh. How is Am Yisrael Makadosh HaChodesh? Who is Am Yisrael? The Gemara Hori of Sat Gimel says, regarding the din of Har Helam Davar Shel Tzibor, when the entire Tzibor is Chote, so who is the Tzibor? You have a lot, in time by Shem, you have a lot of Am Yisrael that were in Chutz Laaretz. So it says the Eretz Yisrael ikri kol, the Chutzlars lo ikri kol. When you talk about the community of Am Yisrael as an entity, Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, they form the community. In the Chutzlars you have many individual communities, but Am Yisrael as a unit, as a national unit, that those are the people of Eretz Yisrael. Ahu ikri kol, the Chutzlars lo ikri kol, that's the Gemara in Daf Gimel. In other words, what the Rambam is saying is that how are you going to be mekayesh the Chodesh, the Zman Hazeh? Not by some calendar that he created in the past, by Beit HaGadol, but by Am Yisrael acting out and doing and being mekayim din Rosh Chodesh, by saying Gal HaVi'avo, by being mekayim the Mo'adim. And therefore it has to be Am Yisrael who are in Eretz Yisrael, because that's where the people are. That's why we base it, by the way, in Eretz Yisrael. Beit HaGadol in Eretz Yisrael, because that's where Ikri Kol, that's where you have that's where the national element of Am Yisrael basically comes to expression. So that's the base in Eretz Yisrael, or if there's no base in Eretz Yisrael, the people in Eretz Yisrael. So we're becoming Rosh Chodesh in Chutzlar because we know that those few people that have been left in Eretz Yisrael are being becoming Rosh Chodesh. And that's what the Rambam talks about when he talks about Yishar Shei Emunah. We know that there will always be people in Eretz Yisrael, because if there's nobody in Eretz Yisrael that are being no Heg Rosh Chodesh, then there is no Rosh Chodesh. And if there's no Rosh Chodesh, there's no Yom Tov. And that can't be. And therefore, Yishar Shei Emunah, there will always be some remnant of Jews in Eretz Yisrael someplace. And the only reason that we know that it's Rosh Chodesh in Chutzlars is because we know that those three people that are in Eretz Yisrael, they are saying Yalavim. That's basically what the Rav claims. In other words, either it can be done by some kind of a legal arm that represents the will of Am Yisrael that establishes it at those courts and Tevel Kirish Mechudas, or it can be done by the people acting out and doing Rosh Chodesh. And if you don't have Re'ia, the Cheshbon has to be done by Am Yisrael being knowing Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so basically where we're headed, not where we're dodging, is that there are, when we talk about Beit HaGadol or Sanhedrin, there are really two sources of authority. The Rambam in source number 10, Beit HaGadol Shev Yishalayim Heim Ikar Torah Shabal Peh. The Beit HaGadol Shabal, we know the din of Zakei Mamre, when you have something, Mishpapin, Damadamin, and the din, you have an argument, where do you go? You go to the Luskas HaGadol. And the din of Makom Goreim only applies when there's Beit Din in the Luskas HaGadol, it's HaMakom Goreim. But, Valida El Makom, you have to go to the Makom, and the Makom is the Mikdash. If Beit Din is not in the Makom, there's no din of Zakei Mamre. The Heim Amudei Hawara'ah, they are the pillars of decision-making. From them, from the Sanhedrin, the law comes down. If you believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, if you believe in Torah Sol, if you believe in the Masorah, then you have to accept the decision of the Chachmei HaMasorah. And that Beit HaGadol is the embodiment of the Masorah. Amud Torah Shabbal Peh. Here the authority, the line of authority, is the line of Masorah, is coming from Moshe, it's Micha, they're in Luskas HaGadol. The authority derives from where? From Sinai. Moshe Kibel Torah from Sinai, so Yoshua, Yisrael's Canaan, and here the authority is basically a divine authority. It's the role that's given to them as Chachmei Masorah is continuing the Masorah, which they received directly from Sinai through Moshe Rabbeinu, and expresses itself, that connection expresses itself in the fact that they're sitting in the Luskas HaGadol. Because once you cut that cord, the umbilical cord, to Shechina, Sanhedrin loses its authority. Its authority as being able to be the Amud of Harav, of Torah Shel Peh, in an absolute sense. And that's why you never had machlokas at the time that the Sanhedrin was in the Luskas HaGadol. You never had machlokas because it would quite be decided. Machlokas began to exist, but all of a sudden we no longer had the ability to arbitrate the different opinions because you couldn't do it absolutely, because who's right? You don't know. So later on we have all kinds of conventions Rolai Grove, and regarding certain areas ago, the Fiammeco, there are all kinds of inventions in order to decide halacha. But the basic decision that's being described by the Rambam here, by the Sanhedrin, and the ability to establish, and somebody that doesn't abide by that decision has a din of a zakei mamre, even though he's sure 100% that he's right. That's all when you're talking about Sanhedrin that derives its authority from where? Moshe Kibel Torah B'Sinai, so Yoshua, it's the Sanhedrin that finds itself in the Lishkas HaGazis. On the other hand, there's another requirement, I would say, and that basically goes to the idea of social contract, that there's also authority that exists that one gets from the people. It's a political authority. It's a human institution. It's a political authority. And that comes from the people. That's basically what you see here in the Rambam. Now, one would think that regarding decision-making, the religious authority should be much more meaningful. And the political authority may be not meaningful at all. I think the Gemara that we saw in the beginning of Sanhedrin would challenge that assumption, and I'm going to try to explain what I mean. But first of all, let's go back to the din that there's no capital punishment if you don't have the base agadol lishkas agadis. The ability of man to kill another man, to pass judgment upon him and take away his life, capital punishment and even corporal punishment, malchus as well. That ability is only when man is representing, not man, but representing God. In Yadus, man cannot pass judgment on a fellow man in absolute terms. There's a very famous Targum Yerushalmi based on a Medrash. The Gemara at the beginning of, the Torah at the beginning of Shoftim, brings the din of Shoftim, and then immediately the din of Matseva. They tell eight from Zbach Hashem Elokecha. And basically the Medrash says that if you have a dying she'ena roi, it's as if you put some Avodah Zarah in the Beit HaMikdash, and Hashem in the Beit HaMikdash. The two are comparable. So I once heard from Mori Garebi that the idea is to usurp the role of God, the divine role, is Avodah Zarah. A dayan in Lishkas HaGazis is representing not man, but representing God. And if you have a dayan she'eino hagun, and you're putting him in that role, then you're worshipping something which is avodah zarah, which is tantamount to avodah zarah. Basically, we know by kohanim, we talk about shluchi d'rachmana or shluchi d'idan. Are kohanim basically an emissary of the people or emissary of God? If you ask the same question regarding Sanhedrin, are they Shluchei D'Rachman or Shluchei Yidan? And the answer is, probably by Kohanim it's two as well, the answer is both. Regarding certain dinim, for instance, the ability, the Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about the ability of Knaf to find somebody, to make him pay what he doesn't have to pay. He stole something, it was $100, you have to pay $200, or sometimes if it's, four or five times the amount. To pay the damage that you didn't do, to impose that upon somebody else, to give malchus, to give capital punishment, that's something that requires divine authority. Regarding that, the source of smicha is Elohim. The idea that's been represented by Elohim is that Beis Din, basically, Mishnah in Avos talks about that one person, if three people are omer mishpat, Elohim b'dayim. HaKadosh Baruch, the Shechina is shown on them. The authority of Beis Din to judge fellow man and to impose upon him corporal punishment or capital punishment or to give a fine, to impose a fine, that's based on a divine authority. On the other hand, when we talk about social things that are socially accepted, to force somebody to do something, to force somebody to give a get, that might be based on some kind of idea of social contract, where people basically accept Sanhedrin to arbitrate between people. And that's l'fneihem, English Bible Shat Tassim l'fneihem, l'fneihem, based in the role of l'fneihem yotos. Who has the authority? Who did the people? L'fneihem is the people. English Bible Shat Tassim l'fneihem. And based on l'fneihem, it says l'fneihem, based in v'lo yotos. How do you get to that connection? English Bible Shat Tassim l'fneihem is who? Is it basin or it's the people? It's the people. So what basin represents the people? The smuchim represent the people. The basin that got its authority from who? From the Reish Galusa. That's Lolos Ne'ayotos. The term Mumchim here is a different term. It's not Tzmicha necessarily from Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's based in that gets Tzmicha from the Reish Galusa. So you have, in regarding the contradiction between the Gemara in Gittin, that the source of that you can't use Ne'ayotos is Nishpatim, Asher Tafim Asveim, Lolos Ne'ayotos. Tosso says that's regarding the ability to be kofer, to enforce, to impose. Because that's based on a social contract, what people accept. And they look on basin as a way of arbitrating, creating peace between fellow men. Whenever you create society, there are rules within that society. And society needs rules and needs order, otherwise it's just right, eyu chayim v'la'o. So that authority comes from the people. On the other hand, there's also Elohim, which is Mumchim, which is Smuchim, the role, the authority that Basin gets from the Mesorah, from Smicha, from Sinai, from being Lishka Sagasis. Let's take a look at a Rambam, a fascinating Rambam, in the Hakdama to the Arach HaZaka. In the Hakdama to the Arach HaZaka, the Rambam more or less describes why he wrote the book. He runs into that to say why I'm writing the Arach HaZaka. And he goes through the entire history of the Mesorah, goes through all the generations, and he basically says that at a certain point, you know, at the time that the Chatimat of the Bavli, people more or less universally accepted the Bavli. But after the Bavli, when all of a sudden the Gedolei Yisrael were dispersed at the time of the Sevarayim and the Gaonim, things got confused. There was no central authority, and therefore things weren't accepted. People don't know where things are. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to collect everything and write a book that will be that central authority for all of you. It didn't become that central authority, but it's a great book. But he describes the reason and the need. And basically what he says is that after the time of Chatimat HaTalmud, Ravina and Avashi, now that's something which has authority because it was universally accepted by basically Am Yisrael. But after that time, all of a sudden that universal acceptance disappeared, and therefore the authority disappeared as well. Let's take a look at what the Rambam writes here. Avakol Dvarim Shebegmara Shehabavli Chayavim Kol Yisrael Lechabahem. The things which are mentioned in the Bavli, Am Yisrael is obligated to follow. V'kofim kol ir v'ir v'chom din abdallin ho v'chom min agot. He uses the term kfiya, imposing. Shenagu chachmei gvald v'jodje otam v'lechem v'takan otam. Ho'il v'chol afan v'rom shemra yiskimu aleim kol Yisrael. Why? They didn't say because the Bavli has the authority of the Mesorah. The people at the end of the Bavli, they weren't smuchim. They were no longer any smicha. They weren't in the list of Tagadis. Where does the authority come from? Yiskimu kol Yisrael. If all Yisrael accept that as conclusively, as the authoritative expression of halacha, therefore it's binding. And therefore the kofim kol year over year. You have the idea of kfiya, because kfiya is associated with what? With the acceptance of Am Yisrael. The authority of Chachmei Mesorah is when they're universally accepted by Am Yisrael. Then they have absolute authority. He's not talking about smuchim, he's not talking about Sinai, he's not talking about Amud Hara, he's not talking about Amud Torah Shebaal Peh, because we're not talking about Sanhedrin, that's in the Luzka Sagad, so Malkom Hashem, Reim Ma'ed. But rather, acceptance of all the people. If they were accepted by all the people, that grants them authority. And therefore, it's binding. Okay, now, let's take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin again, which really I began, and let's take a look at it from the perspective of the Rambam. Let's see how the Rambam quotes that Gemara in Sanhedrin. Again, it's been a while ago, so I'll just tell you what the Gemara there says. The Gemara said that if you have a Dayan that's been appointed by the Reish Galusa, his authority is absolute, universal. He can impose his will any place, in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutzlars, wherever. On the other hand, when you talk about, that's what you talk about Shevet, Mechokek, somebody that was appointed by the Beis HaGadol in Eretz Yisrael, by the Talmidim of Hillel HaZaken, were teaching Torah in Eretz Yisrael, their authority is limited to Eretz Yisrael, but it's not universal, and they have no right to possibly to force a psak in Chutz Lars. It apparently gives greater authority to Rish Galusa rather than Beis Nagadol, something which I said at the beginning would be surprising. First of all, it's less surprising now because we would assume that the Rish Galusa would have the authority of the people. His authority is a political authority which comes from the people, so it's not so surprising as we might think. Let's take a look at the Rambam. Roshe Galios Shem Bavel V'makom Melechin Omdim. Reish Galus is basically a continuation of the idea of Melech or Nasi. V'yesh lam derdot et Yisrael b'chol makom. Ladun aleihem, and they can impose judgment upon them, bein ratzu, bein lo ratzu. Whether the people want or don't want, they can impose their will. Sh'ne'emar lo yasur shevet li'yuda, eidu rashe galiot shem rovel. And if you recall the one time, she'rodim es ha'am. Then impose their will upon the people. B'chol dayan, any judge, harawi ladun, who has, you know, he at least has the basis, he's able to judge, he knows enough to pass judgment. Shenata lo rishut, rosh galus rishut ladun, yesh lo rishut ladun b'chol haolam, alfa pish lo ratu ba'yivin, bein reisavim b'chusarit. He can force people to come to judgment in front of him, whether in Israel or in Chassaritz or over the entire world. But there's one thing he can't do. He can't judge Dinei Knesset. Fine, he can't do. That authority he doesn't have. V'chol dayan, harami ladin shemat lo beitin shaveret Yisrael reshut ladun. On the other hand, the machokek, the one who gets authority from the beitin in Eretz Yisrael, Yesh lo reshut ladun b'chol Eretz Yisrael. He can judge in all of Eretz Yisrael, but not in Chutz La'aretz. Avo pish lo rotu bal yidinim, avo b'chutz La'aretz. Ein reshutan bo elet lo lakuf et bal yidinim, avo pish yesh lo ladun dinei knasot b'chutz La'aretz. He can't impose his judgment. He can't be kofei in Chutz La'aretz. That authority doesn't have, because there's somebody else that basically casts a shadow on that authority in Chutz La'aretz, and that's the Reish Galusa. And therefore he can't be kofer. But what can he do? Dinei knasos he can't do. In Chutz La'aretz it has to be somebody who voluntarily agrees to come before him. So what the Rambam has is not, the Reish Galusa has more power than based in Eretz Yisrael. There are different powers. The ability to be done dinei knasos, that comes from a chokek. That comes from Beit HaGadol, which continues in the Sora. If you have Beit HaGadol and Eretz Yisrael, and they all have smicha, which goes back to Sinai, they can be done dinei knasos. But the ability to impose the social, the political ability to impose and to force Balidin to come in front of them, that they can't do in Chassar. That's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin that page is referring to. It's referring to a political authority, even within the context of Mishpat. Because Mishpat, as I said, its authority comes from two different sources. From a religious source on the one hand, but also from a social source, from a political source. So when it comes to, wait one second, when it comes to the Reish Galusa who has political authority, and he's the accepted leader of the people, so as far as the political authority is concerned, to impose people and force people to come to court in front of him, that's universal. That's all over. On the other hand, the Sanhedrin has limited political authority, and certainly they don't have jurisdiction over Chutz La'aretz where the Reish Galusa reigns supreme. So in Eretz Yisrael, they can force. But there's one thing that the Dayanim that were in the Smachimo, given Rishus, in Eretz Yisrael have, that the Reish Galusa doesn't have. And that's Dinei Knasos. Because the ability to be konish, fellow man, that's not because I'm acting as a representative of the people. We're not talking about a gzera or takana, which was accepted by the people. We're talking about a knas, which is imposed based on Torah law. And that ability to give knas, even though it's not something that was deserved, is similar in this regard to capital punishment and corporal punishment regarding many dinim. It was if somebody owes money, I can force them to give the money back because it's basically the money doesn't belong to Reuven, it belongs to Shimon. You don't need smicha for that. But to force Reuven to give money that he doesn't owe to Shimon, For that you need shmicha. For that you need the authority of the Masorah. So as far as Dina Ketachos is concerned, Mechokek yes, Shevet no. As far as political authority is concerned, Shevet yes and Mechokek no. Oh, yes, you have a question?
I was just wondering, Elam Yisharot's a love of Nashville, therefore in Kutzlarek, in theory, if they're willing to come to him and accept whatever Tanakhi puts on him, would that be valid, or they can't do it anyway? Because since anyway, Elam Yisharot's a love of Nashville, how far does that power come since it's purely voluntary on the
board? It's voluntary, but let's, if people would agree to go to a Dayan in that was appointed by the Reish Galusa. Even if they go voluntarily, he would not have the ability to give him a fine. Now, the authority to impose a fine exists, but I can't force him to come into the court. I can't judge him. He doesn't have to come. I can send him a subpoena, and he doesn't have to come. In Eretz Yisrael, he has to come. If he was appointed by the Reish Galusa, he has to come. If somebody from Eretz Yisrael goes to Chutzlarek, he doesn't have to come. If they come, I can also give him a knas. I'm not right now talking about marketing the onshus law nadim to give him a knas because of what particular society needs. I'm talking about a knas which is nidin Torah, and that requires the divine authority. Yes.
You seem to be saying, if I'm hearing this right, that social contract can extend to even nisa if it's for social good, but not for knas.
It can also extend to monetary fine for social good, but not to impose knas of the Torah. Market Ba'otsi Shlom Nadin could be, in quite a large can include Misha, not everybody agrees, but certainly it could be punishing in a physical sense. We're talking about, you know, giving a fine because the society nowadays needs it. I'm talking about paying kesos for Gedeva. I'm talking about paying Dalai for Gedeva. I'm talking about kesos which are explicit in the Torah. Right, I'm not talking about a knas that a particular society needs. If robbery is rampant, so I want to not only make people pay what they have to pay, but I want them to pay 10 times the amount, that would be legitimate. That's based on Makin Bones and Shlomo Adin. That you could do. I'm talking about a knas which is specific. There's knas in the Torah. Right, and there are some number of different examples of a knas which appears in the Torah.
I just find it strange that for good of society,
you can
capital punishment.
And knas.
But not, so this kind of has been good.
This is
a rash of thievery going on.
You could
impose a
canonical. Absolutely.
It would be
the capable of. Right. It could be 3 times the amount. It could be 10 times the amount. Right? But there you're talking about something which is acquired now because of a certain, something that's going on in society. And therefore, they could also, you know, give monetary, if they can do corporal punishment and capital punishment, certainly monetary punishment. You have maka and you have onus. Onus might be onus mama, for sure. There's no doubt about it. But over here, I'm saying, why do you have to pay kefal? Because that's what's in the Torah. For that, you need to make it.
You're also suggesting the notion of hefker bezin hefker can be only from the first, from the authoritative
bezin. I didn't say that.
Is this the reason they can't impose
canonical? I didn't say Hefker Bezin Hefker. Hefker Bezin Hefker is not necessarily class. That's what down in Yeshua,
Hefker Bezin
Hefker is not necessarily class. I did not.
I was hearing the notion of they can't take money. They can take Ruvain's money, take Ruvain's money as a Shem of Hefker Bezin Ruvain. They can't take Ruvain's,
that's not Ruvain's. As a class. They don't have the authority. They don't have the divine authority that they can impose a class. Class is punishment. Class is not din. Basin can impose din, not punishment. Makin Bones and Shulman Adin is a different story. Hefker Basin and Hefker is a different story. Yeah?
In this need for power of space and a double that has social and political influence, does it have a different political social influence in the presence and absence of a Melech? And in the situation where there's conflict between
Shas
authority and
What the Iran says is that Beis Din all of a sudden has to take over the political authority in the absence of Melech. And when there is a Melech, it could very well be that they're not able to exercise that authority, which is exactly what's going on here in Babel. There's no Reish Galusa at Yisrael, and there they are able to express their authority, but in Babel they can't, because there's a Reish Galusa there. So I think that's rather clear that when the Melech exists, and basically what the Ran says is based in Matim Monshim Shomer Adin, is basically based in working the Din Melech.
So why
couldn't Melech
come as
Rishus
to
me?
Excuse me? For Melech come as Rishus, why do you need authority from basically?
Because sometimes, unfortunately, a Melech works because of some individual whim and not because of the good of the peoples. And therefore, it was needed that you had, and that's Kibush Yachin. And therefore they needed somebody that they would know would be able to represent the people. Yeah.
in Israel, when Moshe seems to insist that he's the only shofet, and then Yisro comes and says there should be a lot of shofet, is it possible that someone said Moshe is thinking along the lines of Basin, the Lishkas HaGazis that has to get the authority from the Shechina, and then what Yisro is thinking about is the other form of Basin that gets, in a sense, a certain sense of the will of the people?
It would be cute. I'm not convinced. I don't think that's what Yisro is talking about. Mm-hmm. But that what you're correct in Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu certainly talks about people like Vashem. Clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu is referring to his authority that comes from the fact that he received Torah at Sinai, and that's what people are interested in hearing. Is Yisro talking about a social contract? I don't think so. But are you? I'm going to look again, but that's not my impression. I'm not sure. I don't know. I want to give a share about it. I don't remember what it said. I analyzed the psukim and the wording of Yisro and what he said and what Moshe Rabbeinu responded. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to look at it again. I'm not sure. Maybe there's some point that I can't tell you offhand. Okay, how about that?
Yes.